From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of June, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenora will be here a bit early. I recorded with him earlier in the day, and it took longer than expected, so we'll move him up in the program. However, weather is the driving factor in the marketplace. You'll want to stay with us for that part of the program. Mike will take us through what the weather forecast looks like for this week and next week, and then explain how it all relates to dryness, maybe warmer temperatures in the July time frame. It's important stuff, so be here for that. And as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with Matt Bennett, of course. He's with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt's down at the Top Producer Conference in Nashville this week. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. From Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The other way the numbers in Chicago finished, corn futures down 3.75 in the nearby July at 4.25 and a quarter, December at 4.35 and three quarters, 3.75 lower in July, down 4 cents at 4.45 for next year. July beans 21.5 lower at $11.34.5, November at 11.19 and a quarter, down 19 and a quarter, and next year's May contract at 10.71 and three quarters, 15.5 lower. Bean oil down 80 cents. Bean meal down $9.50. Soft red winter wheat, July down a nickel at 4.72.5. July hard red at 4.50 and three quarters, down 6 cents. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $117 and a nickel, 22.5 lower. August down 15 cents at 113.42.5. Feeder cattle, August at 139.67.5, down 57.5 cents. And lean hogs for the July at $87.20, up 37.5 cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the 16th day of June, 2016. Dan Zwicker is here from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, but he's made his way north into the great state of Illinois. Tickets, you're up at the Holm Farm there and near the Quad Cities, Dan, today.
Yes, I've been up here for several days now. I still have a 95-year-old dad that's running around, and I enjoyed working with him this morning, and I figured out why I wasn't a farmer, because we were putting new batteries on one of his 2030s or 3020s, and I was going by the directions, putting the hot wire to the hot terminal and the negative to the negative, and that was wrong, and I burnt the cables up. When you got a dual battery like that, you go from the negative goes on the positive and the positive goes on the negative, and I didn't know that, so I guess that's why I'm not a farmer.
Yeah, that's the same reason for me. Every time I get hold of something like that, I'm a pretty good tractor driver mostly. mechanics I can pull off, but I don't pay enough attention all the time. It's a difficult job.
And my dad says, oh, you did it wrong, but I said, well, I just follow him the positive and the negative, and he says, I know it, I should have told you, but you know, but I didn't realize that. So I couldn't understand why everything was popping, and it just fried the, almost welded the cables to the battery, and I go, what a mess this is. So
yeah,
but we got it straightened out and got new batteries on the 3020. So
hey, so I was out yesterday north in Champaign County. I went up to Paxton and through the Ludlow area. Things looked really good there. Just posted, in fact, some winter wheat video to my Twitter account. That would be at Commodity Week, or you can check at willag_org if you want as well. This morning I was into the Hayworth area. That's just south of Bloomington Normal. A bit drier there, but crops look pretty good. How about in your area up near the Quad Cities?
They look good, real good. They did pick up, I think, an inch of rain here over the weekend. So everything looks real good. There's nothing under stress, at least what I could say. I would say some of the beans don't look real impressive, because I think they were a little later getting put in. I think there was just enough rain around that, you know, they just kind of get the beans put in. So I'd say if anything doesn't look too good as beans, but I'd say a good rain and a week from now, the beans would look better. But the corn is really growing. I mean, I can't imagine, but it is small compared to the corn that I have around Waco, Texas. So I had to readjust because we got ears on our crop and it's going to be harvested here probably by the second week of July. So we're only 30 days away from harvest, but, I quickly readjusted to the later planting dates that we have in the Midwest. And we have much thicker corn, and, of course, the corn here in Illinois will grow 10-foot tall, where in Texas it will maybe only go 7-foot tall. So, the crops do look good, and, of course, your crop rating levels do reflect that, at least on Monday's report. But, you know, that may change a little bit depending upon how the weather plays out through the weekend, I guess. Because there is a significant area of the Corn Belt that didn't get any meaningful rain. And with these warmer temperatures, we may see a drop in some of those areas. But I don't think it's anything to the point where at least the market is worrying about it. And that's, you kind of see that. The way the market's performed the last couple of days or so, you know, more in a corrective decline here. And we'll have to kind of see, you know, how deep this correction goes.
Yeah, kudos to you, because last week when we called and talked to you, said this might be a good place to do this, make some cash sales potentially. There will probably be a few said, well, Dan, you were too early by a day and a half or by 3 or 4 days.
Maybe a day.
but it was a good call. Now we're looking at a different situation, though, where we're thinking, hey, wait a second, there's this dry area now. Now we have to think of things just a little differently. What do you see in the marketplace?
Well, anytime you get into a corrective decline after you've made an early June high, it's like biting nails, because markets make a lot of highs in June, and especially when they make them in the first 10 days or so of June. And that was one of the worries that I had last week, is because it doesn't take much. If we would get favorable weather, the market could close out lower for the month of June. And then all of a sudden, you got the technicals all turning bearish. Now, short term, a lot of these technical systems that I've developed over the years did give a sell signal here today. But it's a short term sell. It would be kind of, if you were long the market, it told you to get out of the way of it and just see, you know, where this thing is going to try to find some support at. I got some short-term cyclical work that says that, you know, this thing could last, you know, on into the next week or so, and then maybe get in position then maybe to firm up as we go into month's end. But we'll have to take one day at a time. The beans seem to be kind of the weakest link in here, so the market must believe that it has accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish, was buying acres. Now, I'm not too sure about that. I'm probably a little skeptical that the market has bought very many acres, but we'll find that out for sure on the June 30th report, because I just think the bean rally came too late for most farmers. And the areas that they were planting corn in, they might have added additional corn acres in those areas. So, but that's going to be the next major report. The beans, in order for beans to be bearish, I think you have to find at least 2 million acres or more. You need to have 100 million bushels of production to keep the carryover, what USDA put in their June report, you know, up against this 300, because I really think demand is actually 100 million bushels better than what USDA put on their balance sheet last week. And if that's the case, carryover is really under 200 million right now with unchanged acres. So if they want, and I think, so if you want to have the 300 million bushel carryout, I think you need to find a couple million acres of soybeans. If not, then the market could really worry about overall yield prospects, because, you know, a slippage of one bushel or 2 bushels on the national average yield, all of a sudden you could find yourself in a very, very tight situation. So that means that the bean market could stay alive as you go on into August. And then, of course, the market is basically signaling to South America farmers to plant more beans and hopefully that, you know, what depending upon what kind of weather they have. So the bean market may be kicking back here, having a correctional decline. Timing work would say that this is a natural ebb and flow in the market, maybe for a week or two. And then if it can find good support at a decent retracement level, then it would be ready to go for a July-August rally. But, you know, like I tell some of my former clients that I still visit with, the corn market scares me in a sense is that if we do go ahead and plant, you know, 93 million acres, and if we do get a widespread Corn Belt rain, you could lose 50 cents in the corn market probably fairly quickly. And if you're a 200 bushel acre corn farmer, that's $100 an acre, and that is significant in these times of thin margins. So that would worry me a little bit. Like I've encouraged them, even if the market is off its highs a little bit, don't be afraid to get something on the books. If you don't have anything on the books, or if you've just got a little bit on the books, it wouldn't hurt to put a little bit more on the books while you got these prices. Because, like I said last week, these were actually corn's about the same price where it was when I talked to you a week ago. Like I said, we're maybe a dime or so off the highs or 7 cents off the highs. That's nothing compared to being 50 or 60 cents off your highs. So, you know, every farmer has to play the game their way. Like I tell everybody, as long as you're in the casino, you got to keep rolling the dice. If you don't want to roll the dice anymore, you get the hell out of the casino. And that's what a lot of farmers have to ask themselves on these prices, you know.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Have fun with your dad and at your meeting tonight.
Yeah, just wanted to mention that I am at Mercer County Farm Bureau tonight speaking at 7:30 in Alito, Illinois. If anybody wanted to come up and hear my comments, they're more than welcome to.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well. Bye.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He is out of Waco, Texas. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. We're talking this afternoon about the weather forecast with Mike Tenurum. He's at T-Storm in Chicago. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, you're welcome, Todd. I hope you're having a great day there.
I was out this morning and looked around. Crops in our area in particular look really good. I was north of Champaign into the Ludlow-Paxton area last evening. Fantastic crops there. Went back to the west and north up towards Bloomington, the Hayworth area, this morning. And things were a bit drier there, but that's the way the rainfall fell for the week. I'm wondering what you see in U.S. weather for the coming days.
Well, there's a lot of different things to monitor. I mean, number one is some of that dryness you're talking about there that you saw. There's a pretty extensive area of dryness. It extends from right around Bloomington, Illinois, and then stretches all the way west into western Nebraska. It's pretty much centered from around Interstate 80 and then onto the south through southern Missouri and all of Kansas. So this area here, it includes around 20 to 25% of U.S. corn production. This area needs a big rain because that's the amount of corn that's basically received little to no rain over the last 2 weeks. And there's also been a few other dryness pockets that have developed, namely in parts of the eastern Dakotas, parts of western Minnesota. But a lot of that has been masked by a fairly significant rain event that happened earlier in the week. You might recall that we had some thunderstorms around over the last few days, pretty much all over Illinois, except in that western area, with most of the heavy totals having occurred from southeast Minnesota through northeast Iowa, Wisconsin, and then the northern third of Illinois. So that's kind of your garden spot at the moment, that area from Minnesota essentially toward the Chicago area and then over toward Davenport, Iowa. But again, once you start heading to the south and west, we need rain there. And though people might not be talking about it, if it doesn't rain there in the next 4 or 5 days, I guarantee you they will be.
And I don't think I've seen anything in the way of rainfall for those areas. Is something on your radar?
Well, this is where the forecast is very complicated, not only for the next couple of days, but next week. And next week, we think, is a critical forecast, probably the most critical one we've seen in years. Basically, the situation is this. It's very hot out in the plains. It reached 106 degrees yesterday in Salina, Kansas, which is kind of in the middle of the state, but more toward the east, not in the high plains. This was in a lower elevation area. And most of Nebraska and Kansas, for that matter, were around 100 degrees yesterday. So was southwest Iowa and parts of Missouri. Again, right in that dry spot. So what happened, though, yesterday, which was interesting, is that it got so hot in Kansas that a thunderstorm cluster essentially exploded out of nowhere. And parts of central Kansas did get some good rain just because of how hot it got earlier in the day. Now, that's always going to be a risk here for a few more days. We could see a major thunderstorm cluster just kind of erupt out of nowhere in parts of the Dakotas, Nebraska, western Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri, essentially right along the edge of what will be very intense heat with high temperatures between 95 and around 103 to 104, for most of the next 4 days or so. So that's one risk. But the bigger issue is besides that, because those chances don't look real good, so let's just kind of set that aside for the moment. If you look into what happens next week, that's where things get a little more interesting. We will see a cool front move across central United States on Monday and Tuesday. So that's going to take all of the heat that's kind of to the immediate west of Illinois today and push it further to the west. So everybody will be looking normal or maybe even a little bit cool for the first half of next week. But if that occurs, we'll only see one chance for thunderstorms because the cold front will blast on through and we won't be left with multiple chances that are a little more common to what we like to see, at least, to get widespread and heavy rains in the central U.S. So that's kind of the key issue. I mean, we really need either those storms over the next few days or the storms next week to hit that area that's pretty dry, or else we're going to see the intensity of dryness expand.
That gets us through next week, but then we start to get closer to July and it really gets imperative that rain come. What happens?
Well, that's where the forecast is very interesting and also, of course, very challenging because we're looking more than 1 week out. The big issue that we'll have once we get into the latter part of next week, and really more so next weekend and then going forward, is that we know there will be a huge upper-level high somewhere in the western United States. That same upper-level high, mind you, is the one that made it turn into the 100s yesterday in the plains. So the big question is, what will that do? Well, there's evidence that would suggest it should expand once we get into next weekend and going forward, which would lead to a warmer pattern, especially again in the plains and into the western Corn Belt. And that could turn hot at times. We think it probably will. But we just need to see a couple more things. Number one, we need to see what happens with thunderstorms over the next couple of days to give us some confidence that we're not going to see thunderstorms just kind of randomly occurring, which might lead us to think a little differently about the situation. And the other thing that has to happen is we need to see some of this rain happen next week. If we can get a couple big rains next week, well, then that will alleviate the importance of weather that follows, at least for, you know, a week, let's say. But if it doesn't rain that much over the next few days, and next week rain is really only going to be one shot and it doesn't hit the right area, well, then all of a sudden you'll be looking at this big upper level high in the west, and it'll be trying to move into the Corn Belt or the plains, at least. And that'll be something that, you know, could be worrisome if it were to actually unfold that way. But the one thing we will mention that we think is important is that if we go back to all the discussions that we had a long, long time ago, back in January, we were showing that if it was really mild in the autumn and the winter put together as one, and if you look at that period for the Corn Belt, it was the fourth warmest in 121 years, we showed that there was a strong connection between that and hot summers in the Corn Belt. Well, now we know that June will end up warmer than normal, so we can check that box off. There's a correlation between that showing up as warm in the summer, and now we know that June has done that And that just increases the odds for July to do that too.
Mike, thanks so much for taking so much time with us today. Look forward to having you on each and every Thursday.
You're welcome, Todd. It's always a pleasure.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He is out of Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the cash grain market. We'll do that with Matt Bennett, as usual. He's from Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, but traveling this week. He's down at the Top Producer event in Nashville. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Many people there?
Yeah, I think there's like 250 people total. It's tomorrow's top producer. It's geared towards those producers that are 35 and under, and it's a really neat crowd. Done a couple breakout sessions so far that were well attended, and doing U.S. Farm Report this afternoon, so that'll air this weekend.
All right. So folks who can tune into that, the U.S. Farm Report carried on the RFD network and a whole bunch of radio stations, television stations across the nation, they can look for you. What are you going to tell them tomorrow?
Well, I think a couple of things that come to mind is that whenever you get into a weather market, you know, obviously there's a lot of volatility. We're coming up on an acreage report, which could increase the volatility. And, you know, we're significantly higher than the spring insurance prices. And so, you know, as Daryl Good always told me, when you get significantly above the spring insurance prices, you need to be managing that risk because it's a gift. And so we've been advocating that all along, as you know, and I think a time like now, whenever we've seen the soybeans 60, 80 cents off their highs for the week, you know, it definitely jumps out at you that maybe you need to be pretty cautious moving forward.
And what do the crops look like between here and Nashville?
I think they look pretty good. You know, I wouldn't say that they're phenomenal by any means, but they look pretty good. Definitely saw some areas that had too much water. You know, we saw some areas that there were some, looked like some yellow corn and just some issues due to too much water at times. But for the most part, I'd say it's good. I don't know about excellent, but on the average, I'd say good.
What are your suggestions for producers to manage the risk?
Well, you know, at this point, you know, it's pretty tough to buy a put option on a down day. But bottom line, we've got to be looking at what can we do. One thing that we can do is simply just sell some soybeans. I mean, we're still $2.50 above the spring insurance price, so why not just step in and sell a few beans? And if you've gotten to the level that you want to be at, you know, I would buy puts. That way you can leave the upside open. We're still a big fan of that. When you've got this much meat on the bone, when you're this high above the insurance price, you know, you can pick a price level somewhere in there, and you should still be able to be very profitable on your farm.
Does the corn market worry you?
Corn market worries me just a little bit, the way that it's acting. The weather is the one thing that none of us know. We all must keep in mind, though, that, you know, even if the weather doesn't end up ideal, that doesn't mean that the corn market's going to skyrocket. And so, you know, I think looking at the way the corn market's been acting, it's obviously pretty jumpy. And sometimes whenever you get this jumpy, you're at risk of having a high either put in place or, you know, going to happen here soon. So I would be very cautious there and continue to manage risk. Have some floors underneath you and sell some corn for this fall. You know, based on your insured bushels, I wouldn't get too aggressive. Maybe 25% at most.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. Joins us from Nashville, the Top Producer Conference, where he'll join Tyne Morgan tomorrow for the U.S. Farm Report. Check him out this weekend on Ag Day, RFD TV, and many of your local television stations. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.